did do Acts 18, 1 through 8. I guess we'll have to redo that at another point. But so we'll pick it up in verse 9 today. Just to get the context, 18:1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Okay, so he's in Corinth and he's still there. Verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Once again, Paul following his normal, as 17, Acts chapter 17 starts out, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto the synagogue. Here he is again in Corinth. Now verse 4, went into the synagogue first. Verse 6, same pattern. And when they, the Jews, when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence. Okay, so he left the synagogue, ends up going right next door to the House of Justice, and they open up a home church right there in the Home of Justice, whose house joined hard to the synagogue, verse 7 tells us. Then verse 8, and now verse 9. Then verse 8, Crispus, even the chief ruler of the synagogue, came over and believed the new doctrine that Paul brought here. Okay, so yes, it was very definitely, as we discussed last week, very definitely open to Jews as well. It's just that Paul was bound to go to the Jew first during the book of Acts. Question?
Does that justice seem like he's a Gentile?
No.
Jew?
Okay. Nope. Okay, so Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And we talked a lot last week about water baptism versus being baptized by the Spirit. So today we'll pick up in verse 9 and go from there. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city being Corinth. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. All right, now, let's actually go over, hold your hand here, obviously, we're studying the book of Acts, but go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. What I would suggest to you is right there in verse 11 is when he writes both 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Okay, in Acts 18, 11. So we're going to look at something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 4. Paul says, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. All right, so just putting all this together here with Acts chapter 18 would be some of the reasons that you would have to know that this is where and when 1 and 2 Thessalonians were written. Okay? Acts 18, correct. Right around verse 11 there. All right, now verse 12 of Acts 18. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. All right, you have some people trying to tell you that once the book of Acts started, that the law was done away. And as you see right here, verse 13, they're all upset. Acts 18 is about 20 years after the crucifixion. Okay, and George has a good timeline. We're kind of working together on there to put together the book of Acts, what books are written when, A.D. when. Okay, but we're about 20 years after the crucifixion. And yet here, these people are all upset because, in verse 13, this fellow, being Paul, persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Okay, so yes, Paul is, but the point is the people here are still thinking they're supposed to be following the law, and that's exactly what they're practicing. They are following the law. And yes, the law of Moses we're talking. All 613 of them, not just the 10 commandments. Okay? Verse 14, and when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Okay, so the Jews are, a little bit of insurrection going on here in Corinth at the time. All right, 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence. Okay, so he's leaving Corinth. And he sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. Go back to Acts 18, verse 2. We got introduced to them last week in verse 2. It said, so when Paul got to Corinth, verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Parentheses. Wants it to stand out. Parentheses. Because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Another way that, of course, it says in verse 2 that Aquila is a Jew. But it says all the Jews were commanded to leave Rome, as we talked about last week. It just shows you once again that the book of Romans is written to Gentiles. Okay? That's a good verse right there to help you understand that. When he writes it, two more chapters from now in Romans chapter 20, in Romans. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul, or the beginning of Acts chapter 20 is when Paul writes the book of Romans, or the end of 19, right in that time period. All right, and that just tells you he's writing to Gentiles, the parentheses in verse 2 of Acts 18. All right, so that was our introduction to Aquila and Priscilla. So, back to Acts 18 now, and verse 18. So in the middle there again, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head into Centuria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus. Now this is the first time he comes to Ephesus. And as we know, having the next couple chapters here, he's going to go to Ephesus three different times. This is the first time to Ephesus. And he's just here for one verse really. All right. Verse 19, he came to Ephesus and he left them there. So who would the them be? Priscilla and Aquila, exactly. Okay, always key to get context, and who are we talking about? So he leaves Priscilla and Aquila there. But he himself entered into the synagogue, wow, just like he does every time, and reasoned with the Jews. Okay, Paul as his manner was. Right, Acts 17, beginning of Acts chapter 17. Paul as his manner was. We see it yet one more time. Verse 19, comes to Ephesus, entered into the synagogue, reasoned with the Jews. All right? Same pattern. Every single time, you can't miss it. Verse 20, and when they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. So he's in a hurry. He can't stay there any longer because he's still going back to Jerusalem. But middle of verse 21, but I will return again unto you, if God will. Always a good phrase when you're praying for something that you want, if it be that, not my will, but thine, right? If it be His will.
That's interesting that Paul has to make the feast, but he's telling these other Jews.
Well, it's a transitional book. That's why we always, thank you for saying that. Usually say it every week. Never follow what you see Paul doing in the book of Acts. Follow what he teaches us in the books he writes. Romans to Philemon, which includes the books that he wrote during the book of Acts.
And okay. Why you don't follow what he does versus what he writes is?
Is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So keep your hand in Acts 18. So the question is, why do we not follow what Paul does? Okay, and he's going to tell us something right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 18. I'm going to start in verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, and here's where I'm really going now, the next two verses. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. All right, so Paul did become whatever it was, the group that he was with, because he's the one transitioning from the doctrine that Peter taught, the church that Peter started, the church at Jerusalem it's called, the church of Judea, right after the ascension of Christ into heaven. Peter and the 12 start that church in Jerusalem. All right, Paul is transitioning from that church to the church which is the body of Christ, from that doctrine that Peter and the 12 are teaching, which is, and that doctrine you find in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught the 12 during his earthly ministry. To the doctrine that Paul teaches, which is the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. Okay, Romans to Philemon. Okay? Question.
I was wondering why these Jews aren't following what Paul was doing. Not
because he's just getting there.
No, why they aren't going to be going to
Jerusalem. You're talking Acts 18, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why they aren't going to Jerusalem.
Oh, good question, actually. Real good question.
Well, it must be further out in the future yet before he has to...
Yeah, I can't answer why they didn't, why those Jews were not going to Jerusalem. Many Jews,
but it
most
say
Jews,
that they're not. It just,
well, Paul's going actually, to Jerusalem for the feast. What feast is he going? Is it specific?
Does it say again later on which feast this is? He's with Jews. I don't do longer.
Yeah, no, I guess it depends on how much time takes place between here and Paul actually hitting Jerusalem. I mean, it might be a month. I don't know.
Let's keep reading. I'm trying to remember. I've actually been reading many, and some has the name of a feast, some do not. So which exactly one it is. So let's just keep reading and come back to that. Okay, so verse 21. But he bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And so you're right, it doesn't say that they weren't going. It just says he wanted to get going.
Right.
And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And remember here when it says gone up, it means literally gone up. Jerusalem sits at the top of a hill, of a mountain. So he went up to Jerusalem, and then it says he went down to Antioch. He left Jerusalem, went down that mountain, down that hill to Antioch. So you'll see that throughout the book of Acts, going up, going down.
It's not a north, south, east,
it's west. Not a north, south, east, west. It is a physical elevation. Okay? Now, verse 23. And after he had spent some time there being in Antioch now, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Okay, the disciples does not mean the 12. It just means disciples, people that are studying, right? People that are studying there. And it's verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos. Now, watch this guy Apollos. This is the same Apollos that we're going to you'll see in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, so let's learn about Apollos here. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. Did he understand the Scriptures?
Yes.
Says mighty in the Scriptures. All right? Keep that very much in mind as this starts to unfold here. This guy, Apollos, he's an eloquent man. He speaks very eloquently. He's very learned. And he is, as it says, mighty in the Scriptures. So he comes to Ephesus, verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Okay, stop reading again. So not only does he know the Scriptures, is he instructed in the way of the Lord? Yes, it just told you that. And I'm making a point here, obviously. So 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Stop right there for a second. All right, so does it sound like this guy is doing the work of a preacher, of an evangelist, a Bible teacher? Things he should be doing, right? And I would say absolutely. Look at the last phrase of 25 now. Knowing only the baptism of John. Whoa. 25 again. This man was actually 24 and 25 straight through. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Wow, what a phrase. What a phrase. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The book of Acts is a transition. It's from the doctrine that Peter and the 12 were teaching in the early Acts period, which is what the Lord Jesus Christ taught them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to the doctrine that Paul is teaching. He was just with Aquila and Priscilla. They take this Jewish man, who is an eloquent speaker, learned in the Scriptures, and they expound unto him the Word of God more perfectly, because all he knew was doctrine up to the baptism of John. He didn't know any doctrine past that. And I am coming to your question. He didn't know any doctrine past that. And if the Bible calls it right there, more perfectly. Do not miss what you just read. That is key. Now let me come to your question.
Or it was...
Okay. Let's come back to John. Let's go to the beginning of the book of John. We'll probably grab the beginning of Matthew as well. Let's look at two passages. Okay, John chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 29. So the baptism of John is what we are referencing here. Let's go back and see, you know, what is the baptism of John and what was the importance of it. So in John chapter 1, starting in verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Bless you. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be, and you might want to even underline this next phrase. Good morning. Great to see you this morning. In verse 31, And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. That is the purpose of John baptizing, water baptizing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's 30. Christ is 30. Jewish priests had to be 30 before they could become a priest, and they had to be baptized with water. It was part of the cleansing process for priests. And by the way, they get baptized very often. Sometimes on the way into the temple and on the way out of the temple. Not just a one-time event in their life. All right, but that middle of 31 there, here's the reason for John's baptism of Christ is that, you know, I start underlining after the word he should. So underlining, be made manifest to Israel, therefore. Therefore, those are the words I've got underlined in my Bible just to make a point there. Am I come baptizing with water? There's your reason for John baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ with water to make him manifest to Israel, the high priest, not just a priest, but he's called the high priest. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, called the high priest. Come back to Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at another passage relating to the same event.
Matthew what?
Matthew chapter 3. First, let's set this up. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him. This is John now, okay? Baptized of him. I'm reading three different verses at once. Verse 5. Then went out him to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan, round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, there's John's baptism, okay, to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. All right, let's come down. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let's keep reading. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay? And so baptism of John. There's your baptism of John, and his reason for baptizing Christ is to make him manifest to Israel. Okay, like you just said there. So, questions there?
Was there any credentials or any kind of signs that baptism was for children?
No.
Up prior to that point?
No.
Nope. So what happens today in the churches is a idol worshiping ceremony?
It certainly isn't scriptural. And yes, it is an idol worshiping. It's a man-made tradition.
Tradition that...
It's a man-made tradition.
Just shines light on the baptism itself as a... ritual word keeps coming up. That's not what I'm
saying. It is, but it is. Yeah. It's a ritual. It's a man-made doctrine, man-made ritual. Nowhere in your Bible can you find a child.
But the requirements are you have to be Jew, 30 years old.
Exactly.
It's got to be for the priesthood.
And it's for the priesthood.
So today, a Gentile baby, not 30, not Jew, not priesthood. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, there's requirements.
Yes.
You know.
Were other adults besides priests? There was no other adults that were baptized?
Well, so they're making them a priesthood. Now, that's the other part. You know, and when we get this side of the cross, they're becoming a priesthood, a royal priesthood, right?
Yeah.
And so now there would be reason for all adults, but find that prior to the cross. Okay?
So specific.
Very specific. Very specific. But no, nowhere in the Bible do I know of a place where you can see anybody younger than 30 being baptized.
So the Sadducees and the like that he referred to, the vipers, when they were coming to be baptized, and he said basically, so what brings you out of the, what brings you here, do you know about the wrath?
Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come is what he says.
And
exactly.
So they have knowledge, and the Sadducees and the Sadducees had knowledge of Scripture.
Yes.
And knew about the priesthood.
Yes.
So they were coming to be part of that priesthood because they knew about the Scriptures. Does that make sense?
Well, did they get baptized? Or were they just coming to mock?
Well, they didn't get baptized in what we just read.
Right, right. I was thinking, it just sounded to me like they were coming out to just harass.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
So has everybody been baptized in this room with water?
Yes.
Yes.
So prior to Jesus being baptized, he hadn't yet started any type of ministry.
No.
Okay.
No.
That was like
not yet. Be 30.
That's
the beginning of his ministry.
And then being baptized, so it kind of showed everyone that.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
And then the part about he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him was. That sort of like the Holy Spirit coming to Jesus at that time, or just it was just an event?
Well, he's always been the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It says descending like. All right, so to say he got it right then and there, I'm not sure you could say that.
But that's the mark of the beginning of his ministry.
It's absolutely the mark of the beginning of his ministry.
It's based on God's law.
Yes.
So it had to be that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, was there any miracles that were done prior to that?
Okay, I'm totally getting off of Acts 18. Let me go back to where I'm confident today of, when I say confident, where I'm
what we're supposed to be.
Studied to be today, because I don't want to start.
Here goes that rabbit trail.
Okay.
Hey, that's why we have breaks, so we can answer questions like that.
Finally.
Additional questions. Yeah, and take a little time to make sure, because the last thing I ever want to do is be giving you a wrong answer. Okay, so the point, so back to Acts 18. The end of verse 25, he knew only the baptism of John. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, so they had to hear him first. Once they heard him, then they realized what he knew, and I'll say he didn't know. And then it goes right into heard him. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So do not miss that part right there. It is just like back there in Acts chapter 8. When Philip goes up to the chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch has the scriptures in his hand, remember, and it said he's reading what book?
Isaiah.
Okay, he's reading Isaiah, and Philip walks up to him, and he said, and Philip's led by the Spirit, by an angel, right? Says, you know, go up to him, and Philip gets there, and he says, understandest what thou readest? And the eunuch says, how can I except some man guide me? OK, Okay? Somebody, even though he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he was a learned man, he was a chief treasurer of all of Egypt. It took Philip to guide him, as it does with all of us.
Amen.
We all need a teacher. There's reasons that some verses are in the... Well, there's reasons all verses are in the Bible. But notice the words that are used. It pleased God by the foolishness of reading to save them that believe. It's not what it says. I see many heads going, no, and I'm glad. No, the Scripture says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Okay, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God, we're told in Romans, okay? So we need to hear the Word preached. Okay, yes, it's here too. And the Bible, Romans to Philemon, Paul does not write to people to teach them how to be saved. He writes to people to teach them, us, everyone in this room, how to teach the Word to others so they can be saved. How to preach the Word to others so they can be saved. Okay, he didn't say it pleased God by the foolishness of people that have studied to become preachers and stand in front as preachers formally to save them that believe. No, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. I preach to my kids all the time for 20 years, right? You preach to your spouse all the time, right? Whoa. I don't think I'd laugh that hard, brother.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So preaching, we all can be in the form of preaching. Right? We all do some preaching. It pleased God, but listen to that verse. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the way, did they believe before they got saved?
Indeed.
That's sure what that verse said, didn't it? They believe. Somebody is preaching to somebody that's believing, and then they get saved. Wow.
Because they trust.
Think about that. Because Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, watch the order there, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard, not read, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13, and all in reference to God our Savior. Great verse. But once again, heard. We need to hear it preached. It needs to be taught to us, just like that Ethiopian eunuch. Yes, we want to read, and yes, we should study, okay? Make no mistake, we need to be studying. But we need to be hearing also. Okay, we read the Word, we study the Word, but I'll tell you, Brother Jerry Lockhart, I don't know if it's just because he's moving or what, but to me, he's elevated his game substantially. I hate to say that because it's like you're rating, but I'm making a point here. I mean, I've just, for whatever reason, I've been getting a whole lot more out of his teachings here the last 2 or 3 months, it seems. We're just really enjoying his teaching, his preaching, over the internet, and he'll certainly continue that. I even gave him a hard time, I guess it was last Saturday. He just did a great study on the 7 pillars of wisdom. And I'd highly encourage you to go back and do that study. Somebody may just be learning that he's leaving. Yes, you may not have known that. Sorry about that. But anyway,
that's how we found
the 7 pillars of wisdom. He has that on his website as the 7 pillars of wisdom. Great study. I really encourage you to go back and do that with him. I'm going somewhere with this, though, and that is that, the last week he finished it, the 7th pillar. So, okay, Jerry, I guess, I just, texting and all that. Okay, Jerry, I guess it's okay for the building to sell now. You had to finish that study before you could go because it was a great study. And he said, well, I would have finished it up there. Yeah, but would you have been a little distracted maybe with the cares of this world and moving from here and moving to upstate Alabama? I wonder if he would have moved right back here if Nick Saban would have come to Texas. Anyway, but he's not. So, okay, Acts 18. We are going to finish this today. It's so key to understand. And here's this man named Apollos, eloquent speaker, learned in the Scriptures, and yet it takes Aquila and Priscilla, who have been traveling with Paul, to expound unto him, Apollos, the way of God more perfectly. Now verse 27 of Acts 18. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Now we can help the grace believers, because Aquila and Priscilla have expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now he's a better preacher, if you will. He knows more. He knows the new doctrine that Paul has been revealing and teaching. Verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Okay, so we did finish Acts 18. We'll be able to go into Acts 19 next week, and at some point we will have to come back at the first part of Acts 18. But I guess we've got the first couple chapters to do as well, don't we? We started Acts 4. But okay, now as soon as he hits that button, we can go ahead. We can take a break, and if anybody has any of those questions...